Good morning. If you'd please stand for our scripture reading this morning. Scripture reading this morning is John 10, 1 through 10. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So this morning we're looking again at Jesus as the shepherd. We're back in John chapter 10. I think we were here a couple weeks ago talking about Jesus as the good shepherd. Was that last week? Does anybody remember? Was that last week? Yeah? Well, I don't even remember. That's bad. And so this morning we're kind of continuing that theme of Jesus as the good shepherd. We're looking at some of the passages that surrounding that passage that we looked at as Jesus as the good shepherd. And the first passage here in verses 1 through 6, Jesus is giving us an illustration of himself. And then he also gives us another illustration, but it's a different, somewhat separate, but also very much related. And Jesus is identifying himself as the true shepherd of the sheep. And the first thing he points out is that the true shepherd enters through the door. Now, he's giving an illustration that we don't really understand, but back in his time, people would very much understand it. Shepherds were very much common, much like farmers are in this country. And a shepherd would go out and he would care for his sheep in the field. He would feed them, he would bring them to water, and then he would bring them back into town at night often, or sometimes they would bed down in a fold in a hill. But they would bring them back into town, and there is what's called a sheepfold. And the shepherd would go in, and he would put his sheep in this sheepfold, and all the sheep would go in there. And there would be one guy that would guard the sheepfold all night long. And then in the morning, the shepherd would come in and he would call his sheep and he would lead them out. And all the sheep knew their shepherd's voice and they would follow them out of the sheepfold. And so Jesus is referring to this practice here, and he is referring to himself as the shepherd. And he's identifying that there's other people who want to come in, thieves and robbers who want to steal and destroy. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one that leads us out. He is our guide. And we don't follow any other voice but his. Lynn Anderson, in a book called They Smell Like Sheep, relates this story. "Several years ago in Palestine, Carol and I rode a tour bus through Israel's countryside. Near mesmerized, as the tour guide explained the scenery, the history, and the lifestyle. In his description, he included a heartwarming portrayal of the ancient shepherd-sheep relationship. He expounded on how the shepherd builds a relationship with his sheep, how he feeds them and gently cares for them. He pointed out that the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep, but leads them, and that the shepherd does not need to be harsh with them because they hear his voice and follow, and so on. He then explained how on a previous tour, things had backfired on him as he was giving this speech about the sheep and the shepherds. In the midst of spinning his pastoral tale, he suddenly realized that he had lost his audience. They were all staring out the bus window at a guy chasing a herd of sheep. He was throwing rocks at them, whacking them with sticks, and sicking the sheepdog on them. The sheep-driving man in the field had torpedoed the guide's enchanting narrative. The guide told us that he had been so agitated that he jumped off the bus, ran into the field, and accosted the man, "Do you understand what you have just done to me?" He asked, "I was spinning a charming story about the gentle ways of shepherds, and here you are mistreating, hazing, and assaulting these sheep. What is going on?" For a moment, a bewildered look froze the face of the poor sheep chaser. And then light dawned and he blurted out, "Man, you've got me all wrong. I'm not a shepherd, I'm the butcher." This poor unwitting fellow had just provided the tour guide and all of us with a perfect example of what a good shepherd is not. But I think that is a great example for us in our Christian lives. So many times we look to God as the source of all the bad that happens in our lives. And we say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" And you have to understand, that isn't the shepherd, that's the butcher. That's Satan trying to bring you down in your life and try to make you not effective for God. I love what Delmar said. We are a family here. We are here to encourage one another, to build one another up, to follow the shepherd. Not me, but Jesus Christ himself. We are here to follow him. And anything that it comes into our lives that is not good and beneficial for us, it's not from the shepherd. It's from the butcher. Don't forget that. The false prophet comes to deceive, and Jesus spoke of that in Matthew chapter 7. He said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from the thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." Actions speak louder than words. We can talk like we're a follower of Jesus Christ, but our actions will tell the truth. And if you want to know if somebody is following Christ, if they are a true sheep or if they're a sheep in wolves' clothing, look at the fruit of their labor. We should be very, very aware of false prophets. That's a theme throughout the New Testament, because they are there and they are alive and well today. So we must know the word so we can identify these false prophets. But more importantly, we can identify them by their fruit. The other thing that the Good Shepherd does, Jesus identifies in this passage, is that he supports the sheep. He is the lifeblood of the sheep. In John 10, 27 through 30, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The shepherd not only gives his life for the sheep, as we talked about before, but he also provides for the sheep. He gives them the water. Obviously, Psalm 23 is a perfect display of that, how the shepherd provides for the sheep. I want to back up for just one second, though. And the title of the sermon is "Jesus is the Door to Heaven," if you want to fill that in. But when Jesus said in verse 1, he said, "He who enters the door by the sheepfold, or he who enters the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Christ entered through the door. And if we're looking at this in a spiritual analogy, that was, he provided the way of salvation. He came down to earth, he lived a perfect life, and then he gave his life for his sheep. Okay? That is what we consider going through the door. Nobody else has done that. There's no other shepherd that can go through that door that Jesus went through. So when we see another religion or another person that says this is another way to God, whether it be works, whether it be riches, whether it be another religion, anything else, if they haven't been through the door of Jesus Christ, if they haven't lived a perfect life and then laid down that ultimate sacrifice, that is not a way to heaven. It's a door to another place you do not want to belong to. So be very careful when people say all road leads to heaven or whatever manifestation of that. There's only one way, and it's through the door. And Jesus Christ is the only one who walked through that door. Okay, let's get back to where we are. Jesus is supporting the sheep. There's a guy named George Mohler. He's a pastor. He pastored his first church at the age of 25 in 1830. He was paid $275 a year. And he learned through the next 5 years to trust God for his provision. George Mohler began a ministry in 1835 for orphan children based entirely on God for support. April of 1836, he had 26 children with the applicants continuing to come in. Within a few years, thousands of orphans on Ashley Down near Bristol, England, were having their needs met because of Mohler's mission. George Mohler was asked if he found the Lord faithful to his promises. Mohler, without hesitation, said, "Always. For nearly 70 years, every need in connection with this work has been supplied." Talking to a friend, Mohler emphasized his dependence on God for help. "During all these years, I have been enabled to trust in God for help, in the living God, and in Him alone. We have needed as much as $250,000 in 1 year, and it has come by the time it has been really needed. No one on earth can say that I have ever asked Him for a penny. All has come in answer to believing prayer." George Mohler, a man of faith. So we see this as an example. And obviously, we could probably get people up in our church here to give examples of how Jesus, how God has provided for them throughout the years. Carol was telling us a testimony in Sunday school. A woman asked her, how did you guys make it? And looking back, she realized it was only with God's help that we were able to make it through some very, very tough times in their lives. We could all give testimonies of that. But Jesus is the shepherd. He is the provider. He is there to supply our needs. He knows what we need. And it's not just monetarily either. Another example. For years, Harry had been a successful publisher of materials for churches. Everything in his life seemed to be perfect. A lovely home, a family, a solid future. But all of this suddenly collapsed. Harry's wife told him she was leaving him. She was in love with someone else. Devastated, Harry tried to cope, work, continue with his life, But this tragedy was too overwhelming. Despite all other good things in his life, Harry felt like a complete failure with nothing to live for. He was on the road to meet with a church about their anniversary publication. Arriving early, Harry sat down in the fellowship hall. Suddenly, he began to think about suicide. His life was over. All was finished. As he sat at a table, he began to cry intensely, holding his head in his hands. The more Harry wept, the more he was convinced that his life had ended. He would continue no more. He was beaten. It would be so easy to end it all. In total despair, he looked up and noticed a faded poster on the far wall. In that picture was the image of a man in the same despair Harry was going through, head in his hands, in complete anguish. Then as Harry studied the poster further, he noticed a smaller image in the lower right corner of the poster, three crosses on a hill surrounded by a dark sky. And beneath the center cross, these simple words were inscribed, "I know how you feel. I've been there myself. I know how you feel. I've been there myself." While staring at these words, Harry fell to his knees and prayed, "God, help me." Suddenly, God touched Harry with a new flood of hope. He got up telling himself, "I am going to beat this thing. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." Harry got on with his life, and today he is serving the God who came to him in his moment of greatest trial. Our shepherd knows what we need. And he loves us. And he cares for us. And he wants to be there for you in your need. And indeed, he has. Unfortunately, oftentimes, we've set ourselves up for discipline instead of for the blessing that we want. So oftentimes in our lives, we go out and do the things that we're not supposed to be doing and then say, "God, bless me." We first must come humbly to God and recognize our wrongdoing and ask for forgiveness and then say, "God, help me." And he will be there every time. The next story that Jesus talks about is still talking about him as the shepherd, but he also gives us an example or an illustration of the true sheep. Those who are true followers of Jesus Christ. He says they must also enter through the door. In John 10, verse 7, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, in Sunday school, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, talked about false conversions or false hopes for our conversion. And Jesus is identifying there is only one way to God. You can't trust in your works. You can't trust in your baptism. You can't trust in your confirmation. You can't trust in a prayer that you prayed. The only thing, the only object of trust that is worthy, that is worthwhile, is Jesus Christ himself. Anything else, and you're not going through the door. Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." We must enter through Jesus Christ. Faith in Him alone. That is the only way in. The other thing that identifies a true sheep is that they follow the shepherd. Jesus says in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A story is told by Frederick Buechner. It is a story about a man who was born with an awful facial deformity. He grew up alone and lonely. When reaching adulthood, he decided to move from his town to begin a new life. And on his way, he discovered a beautiful mask that would make him look handsome. At first, this mask was uncomfortable, and he was afraid that people would find out who he really was. But he continued to wear the mask every day. In his new hometown, he made many friends and fell in love. But one day, a wicked woman from his old home came to his town and discovered the man's true identity. And in front of his friends and his fiance, she forced him to remove his mask. When he removed the mask, it revealed a handsome face. His face had conformed to the mask. Becoming like Christ is an analogy to this. Go ahead and put on Christ. At first, it may feel unnatural or uncomfortable. And maybe you may think, who am I trying to fool? But every day, just keep putting on Christ. And every day, you will grow to look more and more like Him. The true sheep follow the shepherd. And if you're not following the shepherd in your life, you might want to examine yourself and examine your heart. Am I really a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I really saved? Have I really reached out in faith and accepted His sacrifice for me? Or did I just say a prayer and say, oh, that's good enough, and move on? Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that only through faith in Jesus Christ, not through a prayer, only through faith. And that faith, if it is true, must be lived out. It must be evidenced. James said, faith without works is dead. It's of no use. And so we must follow Christ with our lives. We must put Him on every day. The last thing I want to look at in John, talking about feeding the sheep or talking about sheep, is actually after Jesus was passed away, after Jesus died on the cross, and then He came back to life. We all remember that Peter, the night that Jesus was arrested, denied the Lord three times. And so Jesus is coming back to him and restoring him into His fellowship. This is in John 21:15-17. It says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend to my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" You know, when we serve God, we serve others. It must always be out of a great love for Jesus Christ. If we're serving in the church, if we're coming to church, if we're giving a tithe, if we're coming to Awana's on Wednesday nights, maybe teaching, or maybe coming to listen to verses, if we're motivated out of, well, I want people to think that I'm a nice person. Well, I want people to think that I'm a part of the church. You're totally missing the boat. You're totally missing the power of God and what He can do through you. We must first be motivated by our love for Jesus Christ and what He has done for us personally. Then, out of that, we can feed the others. We can feed the sheep. We first must confess our love for Jesus Christ. When we look at the elders in our church, two of them aren't here this morning, but I am very grateful for the people that God has put in this church to lead it. It is a great responsibility. It is a tremendous responsibility. But I know the men in this church, the integrity and the love they have for Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful to be here and to serve alongside them. But feeding the sheep is not just for Peter. Feeding the sheep is not just for the elders of this church. It's not just for the pastor. When Jesus said, feed the sheep, that is something for all of us to do. We all have a responsibility to feed the sheep. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16 says, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So Christ, as the good shepherd, the head of the church, He brings all people to Himself, but each one of us has a part to play. Each one of us has a role in the church. Each one of you have been gifted a gift for the edification of this body. And it is your responsibility. Verse 16, for the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective of working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body. We all have to do our share. We are all part of the body. Part of doing our share is what Delmar talked about, being here on Sunday morning, worshiping together, and relaying what we're going through. When I got up here, I was looking for this verse and I wanted to mark it so I could come back to it at this time. Galatians chapter 6. It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That is our new responsibility, is to share others' burdens with them and walk down those scary times together as a family. That's a responsibility we have as believers in Christ, is to hold one another up and to hold one another together so that we can go through this time. Daniel Overdorf is a guy who's has a ministry. He wrote this illustration. He wrote a couple books. This illustration. It says, one of my older sisters and her husband served for 12 years as missionaries to Haiti. Among various other ministries such as church plants, a school, and feeding programs, they discipled a few young men who today lead various churches and ministries. One participant in this was a shy young man named Miltador. Miltador showed a heart to obey even the most radical instructions of the Bible. Like most Haitians, Miltador lived in poverty. He did not have one possession that many Haitians did not. He did have one possession that many Haitians did not. Miltador owned a cow, a feat that may not sound all that impressive to us, but one that would give Miltador's family an opportunity for ongoing nourishment from the cow's milk and ongoing income breeding the cow and selling its calves. Miltador came into possession of the cow after several years of work. A local farmer hired Miltador, then just a boy, to take care of a calf. Each morning and evening, Miltador retrieved the calf from the neighboring farm, found a place for it to graze, and then returned it to its home. Miltador cared for the calf with no pay until it had grown and could be bred. And when the farmer finally bred the cow, the farmer gave Miltador a calf, his only payment for years of work. As this discipleship group, including Miltador, studied through the New Testament, they came upon 1 John 3:16 through 18. Paul, the man who led the study, struggled with whether to teach the passage. American Christians needed the message. We typically think of Haitians as the ones who need the help. But because the passage was in the Bible, and because even the poor need to recognize the need to help others, he taught this passage. The next week, when Miltador arrived at discipleship meeting, Paul casually asked about his cow. Was it healthy? Miltador hung his head. I don't have the cow anymore, he confessed. What? A tragedy? What happened to the cow? Asked Paul. My brother has been sick and needed to see a doctor, explained Miltador. He had no money to pay a doctor. And last week you told us that if we have material possession and we see our brother in need but don't help, how could the love of God be in us? So I sold the cow and gave the money to my brother so he could see the doctor. What an example of how individual Christians are to take care of the physical needs. How often does the American church miss the depth of community to which God calls us? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, so many times we miss so many opportunities to reach out and touch someone who's hurting, to reach out and lift up the spirits of another one who is doubting. Lord, we have so many opportunities to do your work, but so many times we're focused about our own. We're focused on what do I need instead of focusing on what do you need? What can I do for you, Lord, today? Lord, I pray that this message this morning would convict my heart. I pray that it would convict the hearts of the people here, and that we would change, and that we would look for those who are hurting, and that we would lift them up. Whether it be physical needs, whether it be spiritual needs, whether it be emotional, mental, Lord, that we would be a body of Christ that is a true body, that hurts when the other one's hurting, that rejoices when others rejoice. Lord, give us your spirit. Make us in tune and let us follow you so that we can be in harmony with others. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' precious name.